Okay, good evening, everyone. Can everyone hear me? Okay, amazing. Okay, thank you so much. It's so nice to see some familiar faces and some new faces as well. I mean, it's a pleasure to learn together once again. And as it is every week, our learning should be a schus, should be a merit for Refuas HaNefesh and Refuas HaGuf, for both a physical and a spiritual healing for everyone in our community, B'soch Shar Chol Yisrael, together with everyone in Klal Yisrael who needs a Refuas Shleima. I want to talk about a topic tonight that's been on my mind. It's been on my mind a lot recently, and has come up in various ways in the recent parshios. I'm currently sharing in the chat a source sheet. If you're able to access it, I just put it in the chat that we will be referring to throughout this year. The topic that I want to talk about, if you could see on the source sheet, hopefully it came through, is the topic titled Contemporary Revival of the Dead, which is a fascinating topic, what we call in Hebrew Tchias HaMesim. The revival of the dead is certainly a fascinating topic, is a very important part of our faith, and something that doesn't necessarily get so much attention, at least in my experience, not something that we generally talk about, not something that we focus on. But Amir Tzashem, with Hashem's help tonight, we're going to uncover some of the depth and beauty of this very important aspect of our faith. And in fact, this topic has come up in various contexts in a subtle way in some of the parshios that we have been learning recently. This week's parsha, of course, is Parshas Mishpatim. And in the source sheet, source number one is the very first pasuk begins, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lefneim, that these are the rules that you shall place before them. And just coming off from Parshas Yisro, the parsha of Matan Torah, where we received the Torah on Har Sinai, so Rashi notes the fact that Ve'ela, the word vav, meaning and, connects these two parshios, the parsha of receiving the Torah with a parsha of mishpatim, which deals a lot with civil law, damages, interpersonal issues that come up, and is a very, very detailed and intricate parsha. And perhaps naturally, we would not necessarily think that this was part of the experience of receiving the Torah, yet the Torah connects them with a vav to show how they are in fact, intricately related. Rashi in Source 2 says, Ve'ela, Mosif al harishonim, that the word Ve'ela with the vav, and these, adds on to that which was mentioned before. Ma harishonim mi Sinai, just as that which was mentioned before, the Asaras Hadibros, the Ten Commandments, were something that we received on Har Sinai, so too, these mitzvos in Parshas Mishpatim were received at Sinai as well. But I believe it runs actually deeper than that, and more fundamental, because if you look at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah actually comes back to Matan Torah. And it's interesting, if you look towards the end of Parshas Yisro, never did the pasuk indicate to us that the experience of Matan Torah had yet come to a close. And it's only at the end of Parshas Mishpatim where the Torah relates that now the experience of Matan Torah is coming to a formal close. So in fact, in a literal way, the Eila HaMishpatim is not just linked ideologically, but is actually experientially linked to the experience that we had when we received the Torah. And Chazal tell us, the Gemara in Shabbos in source number 3, tells us something fascinating about the experience of receiving the Torah. V'am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol dibor v'dibor sheyatza mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that with every commandment that came out from the mouth of Hashem, yatza nishmasan, that our souls were taken away from us when we heard every single commandment. Asks the Gemara, if so, if our souls were no longer with us after we heard the first dibor sheni, heichan kibla, heich kiblu, then how do we receive the second dibor? If we were no longer there to experience it, how do we receive the second one? The Gemara says something very interesting. Horid tal she'asid lahachios bo mesim v'hachiyay osam. That Hashem brought down the dew, which in the future will be used to revive the dead, v'hachiyay osam, and enabled us to be revived. And that is how we were able to experience the rest of the Dibros, that after every single commandment, in some way our souls departed, And Hashem revived us at the experience of Matan Torah. This concept, as we mentioned before, of Tchiyas HaMeisim, revival of the dead, is a very elusive and strange concept. It's not something that, as I mentioned, we tend to talk about, not something that is easily relatable to us. It's not part of our common experience in this world. And something that we tend to associate with the end of days, something that we're not going to experience for a very long time, something that is not part of what we're familiar with. The topic, the title that I titled tonight's shiur is Contemporary Revival of the Dead. And I want to uncover some of the layers of this very strange concept. And through that, I think it is something that is actually extremely relatable, something that we could bring different aspects of this very strange concept into our own daily lives. And I want to open up this topic by opening up our hearts a little bit with the following story. Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk was one of the early leaders of the Hasidic movement. He lived in the mid to late 1700s. He was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mizrich. And in 1772, he made Aliyah and he came to Israel, and eventually he settles in Tveria. And this story takes place there, in the late 1700s, in the city of Tveria. One day, there was a rumor that began spreading around the town. Again, a small town at that time, certainly looked nothing like it does today. And the rumor was circulating that Mashiach had arrived. So of course the Hasidim, a small group of Hasidim that were there with the Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel, they come to the Rebbe and ask him, what's going on with this rumor? Is it true? Has Mashiach really come? And Rav Menachem Mendel says, let me check. And he walks over to the window, he opens it up, and he sticks out his head and he takes a big whiff of air. And he sniffs in through his nose, and he says, no, I'm sorry. Mashiach is not yet here. And of course, the question on the story is, why did he have to go to the window? What's the idea that they don't ask why he smelled. That for some reason is obvious, that he was able to smell the scent of Mashiach. But why did he go to the window? And the explanation is that Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk was such a holy tzaddik. He was on such a holy level and created such a special environment within his own Dalet Amos, in his own home, that the smell, the scent, the aroma of Mashiach, of the end of days, already existed within his own home. And therefore, to see if Mashiach had truly come to the rest of the world, Rav Menachem Mendel had to walk to the window and then to smell the outside. The 13th principle in the Rambam's list of Ikari Emunah, which is printed in many Siddurim, and this is how we have it, in source number 5, is the 13th Ani Mamin, the 13th core principle of faith, which is printed in the Siddurim, Ani Mamin Be'emuna Shalema, I believe with complete faith. That I believe with all my heart that there will be a revival of the dead at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, and through this Hashem's memory will be remembered from now and for forever. This idea of believing in Tchiyas HaMeisim, believing in something that is so difficult and hard to relate to, is something that was actually alluded to us. I mentioned that this comes up in the various parshios we're dealing with. It comes up a couple parshios ago in Parshas B'Shalach. And it's actually part of our davening at the very end of Psukei Dezimra when we relate the psukim from Az Yashir. The psukim in Parshas B'Shalach say, Vayar Yisrael Asayad HaGdola, that the Jewish people saw the great hand of Hashem, Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, that Hashem did for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. Vayiru Hames Hashem, that the people saw Hashem, Masher Asa Shiv Chalayam, what the simplest person, together with the Jewish people, experienced. What they were able to understand and comprehend from Hashem was something absolutely incredible. And then, Vayaminu B'Hashem. And they developed a sense of emunah, a sense of belief in Hashem that perhaps had never been attained before. And then that leads into Az Yashar. And then the Jewish people broke out into song. And those words, those two words, we talked about it a couple weeks ago in Shul, that Az Yasher is very strange. Why is it in the future tense? Then they will sing, is how it literally translates. Why is it then? They should have been singing right now. They just experienced such an incredible miracle. Why is it for the future? Explains Rashi, Mikan remez letchias hamesim min haTorah, that from these words, Az Yasher, then they will sing, is a hint to the revival of the dead, min haTorah, that we find in the text of the Torah itself. There's a very interesting question when you read the words carefully, though. Vayari Yisrael, the Jewish people saw, as we just mentioned, even the simplest person was able to see and to able to understand, comprehend, experience Hashem in a way that was totally unprecedented. But then it says Vayaminu, they had belief. In contemporary culture, we have a phrase that seeing is believing. But as Jewish people, we know that belief is so much deeper than that. And we realize that if we only believed what we saw, so our belief would be relatively shallow. But our belief runs so much deeper than that. But then it's strange. Why is it Vayar? Why did they see something? And then, and only then, Vayaminu. Then they had this belief. In source number 8, the Ma'or Veshemesh has a beautiful explanation. He says, in the underlines of source number 8, Vehine Yodua, that it is known, Ki Ikar Ha'emuna Hi Shebechal Asagos Shiyasig Ha'adam, that the core of faith, the core of belief, is that with everything that a person is able to comprehend with their own intellect, that through whatever a person comprehends, a person must realize that still within that aspect, within that area of what they have been able to comprehend, there is still something left. There are still aspects through which the person has not yet fully understood. That which a person has not yet completely doesn't have the ability to fully comprehend. Rakshiyaminu betoras hamuna bahashem. That ultimately, as much as a person is able to attain with their own intellect, through their own knowledge and experience, ultimately that will be incomplete. And there will always be a level through which a person has to strive for more, through in which a person has to have belief, emuna in Hashem. And the Ma'or Veshemesh so beautifully explains that when the Jews stood at the Yam Suf, when they experienced such an incredibly deep and powerful and clear experience of Hashem, it was at that moment that when you understand a little, you realize there's so much more that you don't understand. And I think it's so true in so many ways, that as we continue to learn, continue to grow, develop through life, even as we get to know another person more, another person deeper, the more we know about someone else, the more we realize how little we really know about them. And it's certainly true with Hashem. The more we realize and understand and delve into the depths of the Torah, of the mitzvos, and of our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we continue to realize that there's always so much more. And says the Ma'or Veshemesh, perhaps that's why there's a hint in Az Yasher to the revival of the dead. Because the area of life, perhaps, the area of belief, which is perhaps beyond human comprehension, defies logic. There's nothing scientific that you would be able to use to explain the idea of revival of the dead. That is the ultimate idea and expression of faith. And that's why it's hinted to right now. Vayar, they saw something. They were able to comprehend something very deep and realize how much more there is. And through that, develop and engender a belief as well in Tchias HaMesim. I'd like to turn for a moment to our Shmona Esrei. At Shmona Esrei, in the second bracha, there's something that I don't think I noticed until recently, until I started learning more about this topic. Is the second bracha that we have in Shmona Esrei is about Tchias HaMesim. And not just is it about Tchias HaMesim, not only is it about revival of the dead, but let's read this together. We'll just read and translate the bracha. Source number 9. Atagibar la'olam Hashem. Hashem, you are forever mighty. Mechayemesim ata rav lahoshia. You revive the dead. Rav Lehoshia with tremendous salvation. Mechalka Chayim Bechesed, you provide for those who are alive with tremendous kindness. Mechaye Mesim, and you revive the dead. Berachamim Rabim, with tremendous mercy. Someich Noflim, you support those who have fallen. Verofei Cholim, you heal those who aren't well. Umatir Asuram, you redeem those who are trapped. Umekayem Emunaso, Liyashene Afar, and you will fulfill your faith, emuna, your belief, liyashene offer to those who dwell in the earth. Micha mocha baal givuros, who is like you, the one who is all-powerful, umidom alach, who could we compare to you? Melech memes umechaya, the king who brings life and who causes death, umatzmiach Yeshua, and plants the seeds for the ultimate redemption. We conclude that we have belief in you, that you will bring a resurrection to the dead. Baruch Atah Hashem, you are the source of blessing, Hashem, Mechaye HaMesim, the one who revives the dead. Now, if you asked me, I think there's something here that's incredibly repetitive. I don't know if you noticed it. But a reference to Tchias HaMesim is made no less than 6 times. Six. Why so many? Hashem revives the dead. Okay, why do I have to refer to it in 6 ways? And perhaps with this, we can make it more contemporary, perhaps in some way more relatable. The Mefarshim on the Siddur of Yaakov Emden and the Eshel Avram, Mibachach on Shulchan Aruch, both point to the same Gemara and say that the concept of Misa, the concept of death, is one that takes on different forms, different shades, and different aspects of life. The Gemara Nedarim, in source number 10, and Daf Samach Dalar Mabeh, says, V'tanya arba chashuvim kimes, that there are 4 individuals who are considered to be dead. And it's a very, very strong and powerful language. And it addresses a particular sensitivity, and I want to translate these areas, perhaps not necessarily so literally, but in broad terms, because I believe it's true. Arba chashuvim kimes, that there are 4 people in some way have some aspect of death within them. Ani, someone who is struggling financially. Umitzora, someone who is struggling socially. Visuma, someone who is struggling from physical ailments. Umisha ein lo banim, and someone who is struggling with family issues. And again, that's those 4 things were not necessarily translated in the same way. But I believe that all 4 of them represent broader categories of different aspects of life in which there's some aspect of Misa, some aspect of death. Now, death is incredibly scary and something that is hard to relate to. It's hard to comprehend. It's part of the human experience that is so hard for us to put into words. But what are Chazal trying to indicate to us? That there are 4 people who, in different ways in life, experience some aspect of death. And the Mefarshim on the Siddur explain that death, in essence, is an aspect of not living life to the fullest, of not experiencing life in the full way. That a person who is struggling financially doesn't have the ability to live life to the fullest, to their complete potential, because they're bound. Matir Asurim, in some ways they're bound by a certain experience of financial struggle. So too Mitzora, someone who is struggling financially, who has been cut off from others, also is not able to live to the fullest, not able to connect to others in the most deepest way. And so too with the other examples, they're all different aspects, which are circumstances within which that a person does not have the ability to live life to the fullest. And say, the Mefarshim on the Siddur, that these 4 aspects are 4 out of the 6 references to Tchias HaMesim. That all 4 of them, Hashem has the ability to revive. All 4 of them, Hashem has the ability to supply for one who's struggling financially. Hashem has the ability to recreate a social context for one who previously did not have that ability, has the ability to provide someone with avenues of repairing family dynamics, and so on. And the Mepharshim say, what about the other two? So different opinions. Some say it refers to someone who is living in a wicked way, which as well, Hashem gives us the ability for tshuva, gives everyone the ability to repair the wrong that they've done in their life. And in that way, there's some aspect of tchias hamesim, some aspect of a revival of the dead that takes place when a person does tshuva. And the final one is the literal, the way that we normally, regularly, literally translate death, as the physical expression, the physical experience when a person passes away and passes from this world to the next. And the Mepharshim and the Siddur say that when we say this tefillah, when we say this bracha and Shmona Esrei, we are reaffirming and expressing our faith in Hashem's ability to revive us in all different aspects of life. The various categories that we just mentioned, categories of family, social, personal issues, but even, and ultimately, not only that, but even in the real physical manifestation of death, that we affirm, not only affirm, we daven, to see the day where all of our aspects of tchias hamesim, all of the aspects of how we want to be revived in so many different ways, big and small, that we daven towards Hashem for us to be able to see that. Daven to Hashem to be able to enable that to happen. Recently heard such a beautiful idea. The experience of death is something that's so scary, and it seems so final. But nevertheless, when we look at it from the Torah sources, it's just the beginning of a new chapter. It opens up a new area of life. The Geshar HaChayim is a sefer on the halachos of avelos, on the halachos of loss of life. And the Geshar HaChayim uses such beautiful imagery, and he compares the experience of Misa as exactly a Gesher, the name of his sefer, as a bridge from one chapter of life into the other. And he has a beautiful mashal that he says that the 9 months that a baby spends developing, growing, preparing itself for its experience in Olam Hazeh, in this world, our experience ourself in this world is almost like the pregnancy. Olam Hazeh Doma Leprozdor, that this world is like the antechamber for Olam Haba. As we continue to grow, to develop, to learn, to adapt and change, we're preparing ourselves for a future life, for a future world, a world in which our neshama, our soul, and our physical body will be separate from each other for a period of time, but will then ultimately be reunited. And during that time, these two aspects of us, our soul and our body, will long to return to one another the way that a chasan and kala, a bride and a groom, long for each other before they stand together once again under the chuppah. And this mashal, this analogy of the Geshar HaChayim was put into a song. I'm going to try to play it for you. I'm not sure if it's going to work. But it's a song that sums up so much of what we have talked about tonight. The words of the song are in source number 3 of the source sheet. I'm going to try to play it. I'm not sure if it's going to work, but with this we'll close. If it doesn't work, I encourage you to listen to it on your own.
How about if you just sing it?
Could everyone hear? We are, yeah. Okay.
My dear brother, look around and tell me what your eyes behold. Don't deny that you see. It's only you and me. Existence, it is empty, it is cold. Our existence, it is empty, it is cold. But dear brother,
must have faith that we are not the only ones. 'Cause in the distance there's a place where we'll stand up tall and straight. Oh, I believe that there is a world to come. Yes, I believe that there is a world to come. My dear brother, don't be blind, don't be stubborn, don't be set. Imagination, it's alright, but it won't light up the night. What you see is exactly what you get. What you see is exactly what you get. But dear brother, you will surely find when all is said and done that the future it will show there is so much we don't know. Oh, I believe that there is a world to come. Yes, I believe that there is a world to come. My dear brother, where have you gone? Is this the moment I have known? I can faintly hear the cry. My dear brother must have died. It's all over, now forever I'm alone. Oh, it's all over, now forever I'm alone. But dear brother, please don't mourn me when my life has just begun. What you hear are sounds of joy. Congratulations, it's a boy. Oh, I believe that there is a world to come. Yes, I believe that there is a world to come. 'Cause what you hear are sounds of joy. Congratulations, it's a boy. Soon you'll be here with me in this world to come. Soon you'll be here with me in this world to come.
The song really says it all. It really, really does. Tonight together, we strengthened our belief that Hashem has the ability to revive us in so many different ways, healing us from things holding us back physically, financially, and spiritually, and even from death itself. And when we daven, we've mentioned how we affirm this belief and daven for Hashem to bring salvation in all and so many of these different ways. May we remember the day of the ultimate redemption, the day of Az Yashir. Of then we will sing Az Yamaleh Schok Pinu, the day when our mouths will be filled with laughter, Ulashonenu Rina, and our lips will be filled with song. May we merit the ultimate redemption speedily in our days, and thank you so much for coming to learn together, and have a wonderful evening.